This is the Game Act Hotline for March 9th, 2006. Special interview edition with Trev from Amaze Entertainment.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the
Game Addict Hotline.
And welcome to the Game Act Hotline. Please turn your video games down and this podcast up. We are the latest for video game news, video game releases, and today, video game interviews. My name is Luke. So glad you could be here for this podcast. Well, what I want to go ahead and tell you guys is we actually got another interview with another Seattle-based video game maker. Her name is Trev. She actually works at Amaze Entertainment. And I got a chance. She's been friends with me. She used to go to the Edmonds Community College. I actually had a class with her. And she's gone on to Henry Cogswell to get her bachelor's in science and computer science. And right now, she's actually working at Amaze Entertainment. But I'll go ahead and I'll let her talk a little bit more about that. So without further ado, let's go ahead and let's get into our Game Act interview. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Well, first off, I want to ask you, what was your first favorite video game?
I never had a favorite video game. I just like all video games, pretty much. I don't like sports video games.
So you really never had a video game that you played a lot when you were younger?
I had lots of games that I liked to play. But no, I just don't have a favorite game. I'm sorry.
So my next question would be, what brought you into the gaming industry?
Well, one, the fact that I, you know, love games. Another thing I like about video games is they're such a powerful medium for expression. You know, it's like, you look at TV, and you can look at movies, and books, and none of those things are interactive. You know, when books came out, I don't know where I'm going with that one. Okay, but, you know, like when movies came out and TV came out, people were like, this is going to be the new thing. It's beyond books. And everyone is going to have a TV, and we're going to replace, like, everything. You know, education, things like that, you know, normal communication with movies and TV, and that's going to be the new thing, and that just didn't happen. And I just think that's because movies and TV, just when it comes down to it, are not interactive. But video games are interactive. You know, they can, you get involved and they affect you personally, and you can get so much more out of that experience than you can get out of movies.
So you see it as more like the next storytelling?
Well, I think it's so beyond storytelling. I mean, you can tell stories with games, or you can make your own stories with games. I mean, you can learn with games. You know, games can just, you know, you can go places that you can't go. Like, with a book, you know, generally, with the exception of Choose Your Own Adventure, books have, like, a linear plot line. And that's it. You've read the book, no matter how great the book is, because I love to read. You know, not very many people read lots of books over and over again, but, you know, you stick in a game with, like, an immersive world like Grand Theft Auto. As horrible as Grand Theft Auto may be, it's still an immersive world that allows you to have a different experience every time you play it. And you can play it however you want to play it. Like, I don't like to steal cars or break driving laws when I play it. Totally different game experience than a lot of other people have.
So what game company are you working with right now?
I work for Griptonite Studios. It's a division of Amaze Entertainment. Griptonite focuses on handheld games. We've recently started making DS games. Before that, the company made GBA games. A company that Griptonite became before that made Sega Handgear games. Yeah, I think they also made a PlayStation 1 game. So Amaze itself makes lots of different types of games, but Griptonite, where I work, we just focus on handhelds, and right now we're focusing on GBA and DS. And a lot of people are surprised when I tell them we still make Game Boy Advance games, but there's such a large install base and such a really big market out there for them. So we still are developing titles for that system.
So are you still interning over there, or are they hiring you as a full-on employee?
I've been a full-time since September. Before that, I was an intern.
So they just hired you full-time a couple of months ago, is that right?
Yeah.
And you're still going to school over at Henry Cogswell, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
That seems like a lot of weight on your shoulders right now.
It is. It is. I've talked to a few other people who worked for just like the last quarter or trimester while they went to school, and they're always amazed that I'm doing my entire last year of school while working.
So what were the last games that Kryptonite Games were working on?
The last game I worked on was Narnia DS. We also did Chronicles of Narnia for the GBA. We did The Sims 2 for the GBA and the DS. We did Shrek Super Slam. I think for the DS and GBA. We also did LEGO Star Wars, which is on the GBA, which is probably one of our most popular titles.
Yeah, I heard there's going to be a second edition of the Star Wars games. Is that something that you guys are going to be working on, or is that some other company?
That is correct. We are working on that.
Is that the GBA or DS version, or?
Yeah, it's going to be GBA and DS.
Ah. Well, the big reason I wanted to interview you today was I wanted to ask you about women in gaming.
Okay.
I was reading the Game Developers Magazine, which is a industry magazine.
Mm-hmm.
In the 2003 article, they're talking about the amount of women in gaming.
The salary survey?
Yeah, that salary survey. They said about 17% are in production, over 8% in QA testing, 3% in audio, and only 7% total. And only 7% of the gaming industry are women. What do you feel about this?
I think the lack of women in the gaming industry, a lot of people blame it on the gaming industry for making games that are catered towards men. And so then they say, well, then girls don't want to play those games, so that's why they don't get jobs in the industry. And I think I think it goes deeper than that. I think the lack of women in the game industry, especially like in my field as a programmer, has more to do with the fact that our society doesn't encourage women to go into mathematical or scientific-oriented careers at all. You know, it's really not. I mean, we're making progress, and we've made a lot of progress in the last few years. You know, but up until the last few years, there hasn't been like a push or a movement or an awareness that girls aren't going into math, science-oriented careers. I think another thing that also affects that is the poor image people place on art-related careers. You know, generally, if you say, I want to grow up and I want to be an artist, you know, your parents, unless they're very nice, will probably tell you to go, you know, find a real job or do something that's actually going to make you, you know, some kind of money. And, you know, so I don't think there's maybe as many women going into the game industry. There's also a lot of people kind of think it's video games, so it's silly. So it's not really like a viable career option. So I think it's a lot of things. I suppose we could say that the fact they make games for guys could be one of them, but lots of girls play video games. So I don't think that that's the problem. I don't think the fact that the game industry hasn't until recently started advertising to girls is the reason girls aren't in the industry. I think it's society doesn't encourage girls to go into those kinds of careers.
Do you think that some game developers don't research what kind of games girls would like to play, and instead they're throwing out games like Barbie games or That's So Raven kind of games?
Well, I have to say that I think a Barbie game would be the exception, and that if you made a Barbie game, girls will play it. Just because some girls, myself not being one of them, really like Barbie. So that kind of game is going to sell. I, I think it's hard to research what kind of games girls might like to play. I know in the International Game Developers Association, a lot of times forums pop up about this very subject, and a lot of girls will post on there and be like, well, I don't like this, you know, stupid kind of games they say girls want to play. A lot of girls post and say, well, you know, I like Halo, and I like GTA, and I like Counter-Strike, and, you know, I like Ghost Recon, and those are the games that I want to play. So I don't think there's really any research where you could pinpoint and you could say girls want to play these types of games. This is the kind of game we make. This more girls will play this than guys. I think one of the things that's bringing girls into the industry isn't that game companies are necessarily looking towards making games for girls. It's more that game companies are looking towards making casual games that are easy to, you know, easy to get into, easy to learn, easy to pick up, and that's what's bringing girls in.
Yeah, I see a lot of girls playing games on their cell phones.
Yeah, definitely. Something like that. I mean, because, you know, when you look at people like us, where we've grown up, we had our Nintendo, we might have even had an Atari that our parents let us play. You know, you grow up, and as the controllers get more complicated, it's fine. It's just another level up for you. But when you have, you know, girls who haven't had that exposure, you know, suddenly they're out working, they have money to spend, you know, but they didn't grow up with games all their lives. You know, it's kind of hard. You know, I'm sure you've seen your parents try to play video games. It's like you sit them down, you hand them the Xbox controller, and they're like, what all these buttons do? This is too many buttons.
Right. Do you think that women also don't play a lot of video games is because of the way video games stereotype girls and making them think, like, for example, Lara Croft or Dead or Alive 4, that they're not really that intelligent, or that they're more of a sex object than anything else?
Well, I know from talking to other women that some women don't like to play those kinds of games, or don't like to play a game where a woman is objectified like that. I know we don't own any Dead or Alive games. And after they put out Dead or Alive Volleyball, I wouldn't own any Dead or Alive games, because it's just wrong to me. But there's so many other games I can play. That's not the only game. And that's the thing that drives me crazy about it is, you know, people, they focus on these games, and they're like, well, these games, you know, they objectify women, so all games are bad. Well, you know, there's lots of games where women aren't shown like that. You know, like if you play Sims, okay, all the women are in shape, that is true, but how many video games that are really popular where the main character is an out-of-shape man? I mean, because I wouldn't play a game where the character was an out-of-shape man. I don't want to see a hairy, you know, pit-stained, you know, grossly overweight man as my main character. I mean, it's your avatar. It's supposed to represent you. Is that how you want to be represented? It's supposed to be about something you can't do. I think the only game I play with a gross man would be Sims Hit and Run.
Oh, yeah.
It's Homer.
Yeah. That's Homer.
So, I mean, yeah, on one hand you can say, you know, that's how women are, you know, objectified. But I know one of the other games we're working on is Pirates 2. I don't know, I've seen the character. It doesn't look that much different than the character in the movie. You
right.
know, just made out of pixels.
Oh, a Pirates of the Caribbean 2?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But what about Nintendo? I mean, you can see that they're actually getting a lot of girl gamers, especially with their games like Animal Crossing and Nintendogs.
Nintendo has always from its very beginning, had a history of trying not to release games that are over a teen rating. I don't know what happened with BMXXX. I can't explain that. But other than BMXXX, they've had a commitment to releasing games that aren't violent. I mean, we can see that when Mortal Kombat came out.
Right.
And they had the big uproar, and the Sega version was more violent than the Nintendo version.
Right. For people who don't know, Nintendo never really wanted to have any blood in their games. So when Mortal Kombat came out, it had a lot of blood. And the Sega Genesis version stuck with the arcade version and had that blood. And the Super Nintendo version took out the blood and used kind of like a spit or sweat kind of idea.
Yes. Oh, another thing a lot of people don't realize is Nintendo actually had a stronger commitment to anti-violence before the rating system. After the rating system, Nintendo was like, well, now that there's a rating system, I guess it's not solely our responsibility now to protect kids. You know, now part of it is on the parents. So I guess we can start to make games just slightly more violent. They still like to hold back on it because we make a lot of Nintendo games. So it's we're very aware of this in our studio.
Right.
Well, we make only Nintendo games. And, you know, but it's funny to think that the rating system, in a sense, allowed for more violent games.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we all know that Conker's Bad Fur Day didn't come out until the ESRB ratings came out.
Yeah, and that's... I wouldn't let my kids play that game, and I'm always surprised when parents, you know, have brought that game to their children. It's about a drunk squirrel.
Oh, yeah.
It's drunk.
Well, yeah, like, for example, when I was working at GameStop, I would have the parents come in, and they would want to pick up Grand Theft Auto Vice City, and then I would explicitly tell them about what you could do in the game. I'd tell them that you could pick up a hooker, and you could have relations with her, and then after you do that, you could kill her, and then after you kill her, when the ambulance comes to help her out, you could actually steal the ambulance and kill the people in the ambulance. And when I tell these to these parents, they would just look at me, and they would go, really? You can do that? So I don't really think parents know exactly what games kids are playing right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that, and they don't, you know, they don't bother to read the rating. Because the rating says that. I mean, it doesn't say you can kill a hooker, but it does say graphic violence.
Well, getting back at women in gaming, I was reading an article in the gaming magazine, and it says that women are only paid $8,500 less than what the male counterparts are making. And so I was wondering, what are your thoughts about this?
Well, I think in every, I mean, every industry across the board, women get paid less. I think one of the interesting things I found, I don't know if maybe it's just where I work, but because the game industry is trying to get women in, there's not, a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, the men probably don't want to work with women. And that could be true at some companies, but where I work, it's like, it's not like that at all. It's everyone's just there, and they're kind of a person, and there's no gender division. I think one thing, though, that would affect that is I'm sure if you looked at the salaries, if you took all the salaries in our studio and got an average for the women and an average for the men, I'm sure the men's would be much higher. And that's because there's only one other woman that's a programmer in the studio other than me. And, you know, we have a few artists that are women. We have a few producers. We have designers. A lot of designers that are women. But, you know, we don't have enough to bump up that average.
Do you think it's because there's a lot more men in the upper management division and that...
Yes, that's what I think mostly has to do with it is... There's more men in the upper management positions. I mean, and a lot of that could be just gender bias. I'm partially inclined to think, though, that it has a lot to do with the fact that like our technical director,
right.
He's the head programmer for our whole studio. Mm-hmm. Well, if there's only two programmers that are women in our studio, mm-hmm. I mean, how likely out of I don't know how many, maybe 20, 30, 40 programmers. How likely is it that that's going to be a woman? I mean, and how long have women been in programming? I know there's a few women that have been programming, you know, 20-plus years. But our technical director learned programming before C++. So, I mean, and that's the kind of person that's going to be in upper management, our studio director. He made in television games. You know, and when you look through, like, video game history, you know, there's a few women in there, but there's just not that many. So I guess I don't think we have the numbers, and we don't have the history that men have in
right.
the game industry. You know, I think it'll be interesting to see where the game industry is in about 30 years when, you know, we've passed this big push to get women in. You know, there might be more of an equal gender, you know, ratio. But until then, I mean, I don't know. If women are getting paid less, well, women get paid less in every industry. So, I mean, that it's unfortunate, but I don't know if it's necessarily true that we are getting paid less in the game industry just because our numbers are so few. It, you know, I think it's hard to substantiate that.
Yeah, I think the same way you're thinking. I mean, I don't think there's, like, something that's making girls not getting to video game development or that they're getting lesser pay. I just think it's that there hasn't just been a chance for them to come out and actually be able to get into the industry. I know there's one development team that's just all women.
Her Interactive?
Yeah.
It's actually not all women. It's just over 50% women. And women are in all the management positions.
All right. Well, I was wondering, I have a girlfriend. Well, actually, I don't have a girlfriend, but...
I knew you didn't.
Yeah, thank you.
I just
wanted to know, what kind of games should I pick up so that I could play games with her and something that she would be interested in?
Well, if you want to go high-end, I'd say Dance Dance Revolution. But if you just wanted to spend a little money and get a girl interested in games, I would say Taiko Drum Master.
And why Taiko Drum Master?
A really quick game. It's just a little drum with two sticks. It's really easy to pick up. I mean, and it's got... Most girls listen to the radio. You know, it's pretty much a bunch of, you know, standard radio hits. It's like half radio hits from the last 10 years, and then, you know, songs that we all know the words to, like ABC. And then there's a few video game songs in there. But it's just a little interactive drum game, and you can play some mini games with the drum. It's a really easy game to jump in there, play for 10 minutes, and then be done with. If I wanted to get someone who didn't play, like, action games or platformers into a game, I would do Lego Star Wars for any system.
Yeah, I see a lot of the kids playing it right now. I haven't got a chance to play with it yet, but I really would like to try it out.
I'd say that I didn't own Lego Star Wars for the GBA first. I owned Lego Star Wars for the PlayStation 2, which wasn't made by our company.
Right.
But it is an awesome game. Awesome.
You know, I'd like to try Karaoke Revolution. I mean, I've got some pretty good singing skills, I think. But do you think that'd be a good idea or a bad idea?
I have a friend who bought Karaoke Revolution for his little sister, and she loves it. A big complaint people have about the game is you don't have to sing. You can just hum to win.
Oh, okay, I'll remember that.
So even if you don't like to sing, it's an okay game, because all you have to do is be able to hum on tune.
Right, so I could have my own little American Idol at my own house, right?
Yes. Yeah, they even have it, well, I think Karaoke Revolution Extreme works with the iToy and the Dance Dance Revolution pad.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, that's hard. I won't try it, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it seems like you'd be doing way too many things at one time.
But yeah, that's the version my friend got for his little sister. She's 9. She loves it.
Yeah, I could probably say that for Guitar Hero, too. It seems to be a pretty hard game, too.
Yeah, I think Guitar Hero is fun.
Well, let's get back into the gaming industry. How do you think people can get into the gaming industry?
How easy do I think it is? Is that what you said?
No, I mean, how would somebody get into the...
Oh, how would somebody get into it? Well, I think that would depend on what they wanted to do. But if I wanted to get into the game industry, and I was still in school, one of the things I try to encourage my fellow classmates to do, and it always amazes me when people aren't doing this, is you should be looking at companies and researching companies and researching the industry at least a year before you graduate. Another good trick, and this helps you mostly if I think you're still in school, but it's still helpful, is to be looking at job ads all the time. I mean, obviously if you're still in school, you probably don't meet those expectations. but I think looking at job ads gives you a really good clue of the skills that you're going to need to have and the kind of things that people are going to be looking for.
What do you mean when you say look at the game companies the year before you graduate?
I mean, like going to websites like, you know, Gama Sutra, the International Game Developers Association, you know, GameDev.net, you know, Video Game News. I wouldn't consider, like, GameSpot and, like, IGN and stuff valid places to find industry game news.
What about Kotaku and Joystick and those kind of blogs?
Blogs? I haven't been to either of those. I try to focus on the more, like, I go to Women in Games a lot. Yeah, and a lot of the, like, the women's sites, like Digital Eve and things like that. I have to admit I'm so busy going to school and working that I have selected a few sites, and I go to those. The thing I like about Gama Sutra and the International Game Developers Association is that those are the people that put on GDC, the real Game Developers Conference, not the E3 thing for the reporters and the media.
Right.
The real deal, Game Developers Conference.
Yeah, and that's coming up soon, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It should be coming up this month, right?
I believe it's March.
Yeah, they said that Will Wright was going to be the lead speaker, the keynote speaker at the Game Developers Conference.
He's always a keynote speaker.
I know, but he's huge.
Oh, he is. Looking around at job ads is going to give you a sense of the skills you need, and then you need to find the best way you can to present those skills. Going to not the last job conference, but the job conference before that,
mm-hmm.
for artists, one of the things a few of the panelists mentioned is it's okay if you apply at their company more than once, but if you apply and then you apply 3 months later and they don't see different things in your portfolio, then they're not going to feel you're committed to doing art.
So you're always trying to do something different?
Yeah, or, I mean, not, you know, necessarily, you know, something like, you know, out of the, you know, way different, just something new.
Right.
Something that you've worked on, because they want people who are committed to doing this. You know, they're looking for, you know, commitment and passion, and so you have to show that. Looking for internships is a really good way.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just, yeah, if I were, even if I were still in school, but if I were out of school, I would definitely send your stuff and your resume, you know, to companies, even if they're not advertising. You know, because they could be looking for someone at that moment. And I definitely, I think another good tip is once you get out of school, always have your resume ready if you don't have a job. Always. Just have it ready. Because, you know, someone can call you. Your friend could call you and be like, we're hiring for the next 2 days. You know, if you're only hiring for 2 days, you don't have time to make a full demo reel.
Well, the whole point of this podcast is to help promote the Edmonds Community College game development classes. How did Edmonds Community College help you out in your game development?
They helped me greatly. Because, when I got into my internship, obviously a CS degree is about theory. You know, it's about the theory of computer science and, you know, learning, you know, about how a computer works and algorithms and, you know, you learn math and you learn things like that. It is not a heavy emphasis on programming.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got into my internship, they were amazed that I could, you know, do things like make a class without help. You know, and sit down and do programming tasks and, you know, be able to go through that and get it done. And all of that came from Edmonds because I haven't taken any programming classes at Henry Cogswell.
Right.
Because I transferred all of them in.
Right.
I mean, I suppose if I had, I might say something different. But, you know, all of my technical skills came from Edmonds. Another thing I thought was really valuable is, you know, you have your C class, and then you got the C, C++, and then, you know, kind of like advanced C++. You know, so you can, you know, you learn it kind of, you know, traditional route, traditional uses, and then you can take the game classes. And so taking the game classes made it so that when I went in, you know, to the job and had to start digging around in the game engine and finding stuff so that I could, you know, write my code, I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't totally overwhelmed. Believe me, a game engine, a full one, is overwhelming at first. But if you, you know, if you have the kind of experience that you get, you know, from taking, like, the game classes at Edmunds, you know kind of what to expect. You know, a game engine has these things. You know, it's going to have, you know, stuff for characters, and it's going to have stuff for a map, and, you know, stuff for an inventory, and, you know, it's going to have all these pieces, and you know what the pieces are. I mean, obviously on a much smaller scale, but, you know, you still learn what they are at Edmunds.
Well, thank you, Trev, for coming on the show.
No, it's no problem.
Well, that was my interview with Trev. I hope you enjoyed it. Remember, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions about our podcast, you can email me at gameaddicthotline@gmail.com. We also would like you guys to please vote for us at Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle, or at Yahoo Podcasts. But that's going to be it for this special edition. I hope to see you guys on Saturday for our next Game Addict Hotline regular show. Until then, turn your video games back up and keep on gaming.